guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is nazigassings.com. And thank you for reminding us of what happened in Germany. Thank you so much for that. We do have some callers. We have Werner. I assume that Charles is gone, but we do have Werner, so let's take Werner, and then we'll go on to Hattie. Okay, Werner.
Well, good evening, Diana, and good evening, Mr. Berg.
The Holocaust.
Well, of course.
Tell you the information from your last call at Bartek, Florida. You know, a lot of the things I did not know. But I come to the conclusion, here in North America, I'm calling from Canada, and it is a criminal offense to incite hatred against an identifiable group of people. And this is basically this war propaganda in order to drum up support for wars all around the world by government institutions and by the mainstream media. It should be treated under the criminal code of those countries.
Fritz, what are your thoughts?
I'm opposed to making any kind of hate, even hate propaganda, a criminal. Let the hate mongers spread their filth, but I'm inclined to let or encourage other people to tell the truth as best they can, and hopefully the good guys will prevail. The moment you start censoring or suppressing so-called hate propaganda, you're going to suppress a lot of important good stuff as well. It's a terrible dilemma, I think. Some racist hate propaganda is certainly terrible, but there's nothing more racist and horrible, I think, than Holocaust propaganda. But if we would simply ban Jewish Holocaust propaganda, we'd open ourselves to bigger problems, I think. I don't know what the answer is for sure, but I'm against the suppression of debate and discussion and publications of any sort.
Sure.
But then at the same time, this should not be used by the judicial system to be very selective in who they charge with
What you're saying.
Well, you know? If you rely on the laws and the legal profession to balance everything out, you're not going to get very far. In Germany, by the way, my understanding, and I could be wrong about this, but I think it's correct, the kind of racist propaganda that was rampant in the United States and Britain was totally illegal under Nazi law as well. So in a way, that may have contributed to the problem, because Germans were totally naive when this kind of propaganda became rampant in Germany with the Allied victory. It's a terrible mess, but I'm inclined to free speech and freedom of thought and expression in any way possible. But it is terrible, and sometimes the consequences are horrendous, because sometimes it takes a long time to get to the truth. We had this with the Iraq war, where some Kuwaiti girl claimed that the Iraqi troops were taking incubators away from babies.
Oh, right.
So that they were dying, you know.
They were throwing them on the floor.
And it turned out to be a big lie. The girl was related to some of the top Kuwaiti officials, so she was hardly an objective observer of what was going on. But her propaganda, her lies, encouraged America to invade Iraq. This was '92, I think. And so it's terrible. But we don't have a better alternative than simply allowing everybody to speak. Today, with the internet, most of us can raise our voices one way or another, but unfortunately, people are still intimidated by the enemy's massive propaganda efforts.
Sure. And it happened in World War One. You know, they supposedly the Germans were cutting off the hands of the Belgian children, and all said, just make up a story like that, and the Americans will fall for it every time.
Every time, with some clever cartoons showing actual Germans looking like gorillas, you know, with their...
Exactly, yes.
How can anyone not believe it? You know, but people are basically very naive, but as time goes on, I think people may get a little smarter. I don't know for sure, but let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
Up to the event of the internet, basically, the people in North America, they were basically people who were living on an island.
Sure.
Very few Americans or Canadians had gone ever abroad, and they did not know much about the people in the rest of the world.
Right.
And they were dependent on a lying and controlled media.
Exactly.
But, I want to make another point. a few nights ago, I was listening to a Russian defense expert, and he pointed out that right now there are about 50 countries in the world who have the technology to manufacture simple atomic devices that can be dropped at the coastline of Europe and North America, and they can be remotely triggered and cause huge tidal waves to flood the coastal areas of the United States, of Canada, and of Europe. And it is, and the way things have been developing over the years, where the United States and the NATO countries are involved in creating wars and havoc all around the world, the goodwill account has been used up.
It's depleted, yeah.
Exactly. And Mr. Trump is making enemies all over the place. I mean, can you imagine a possible war with Mexico? It's hard to imagine that, and yet it is possible at some point.
Sure.
It's crazy, but that's where Mr. Trump has put us as a country. There aren't any friends openly embracing America anymore. Japan had its head of state here, but he's no fool. He's not as dumb as Mr. Trump would like to believe he is. He's just making friends with us because the Japanese are worried about China. So they're not stupid, and the Iranians are not stupid either. They're working on their nuclear weapons and military weapons of one sort or another, and with money they can buy the weapons from China or any number of countries. So the world is going to be a very dangerous place for America, especially when America continues to blindly support Israel the way it does right now.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Werner, for your phone call. We do need to move on.
Just last comment there. What this Russian defense expert said, those nuclear charges, they don't have to be delivered in an aerial way by rockets. They can be dropped off by freighters or passenger ships.
Sure.
Without anybody knowing it.
Sure.
So, as I say, it is high time that people start waking up, especially in North America and the warmongers in Europe, you know, to basically back off. The world does not need any more of their military solutions. We have seen what it has led to.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you, Werner.
And thank you.
All righty. Let's take Hadding in Florida. Hadding, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just doing fine listening here, and I think you were going to talk about Eric Hunt today. I never paid a lot of attention to Eric Hunt. I know that he came to the forefront because he had accosted Ely Wiesel in an elevator and ran into some legal problems. I kind of had a vague impression of him as a loose cannon, really. But I have been listening to the exchange between Eric Hunt and Fritz Berg, and Eric Hunt said some things that are interesting. He said that he said that when he was presenting himself as a Holocaust revisionist, he never believed everything that he was saying. He said that he said things that he didn't believe because he wanted to expand the Overton window.
The Overton window, what is that?
That means the range of discussion. It's the range of what's acceptable
okay.
to say.
Okay. Well, all right. I wasn't.
I must have missed that. Yeah.
I missed that too. Well, in a way, it shows a kind of dishonesty on his part.
Exactly.
So that kind of goes along with a rather negative image for him. I don't think I've ever
done that. Yeah, that was, I believe it was in his opening statement. Some of the key revisionists, like Forreston, is always telling people to be very careful about what they, not to say Forreston never makes mistakes, but, you know, I've talked to Forreston, you know, talked to him about something like, oh, there was a poll that said that one-fifth of Americans think there might not have been a Holocaust, and he says, be very careful, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? So you have people constantly saying, be careful, you know, don't say anything that that the Holocaustians can use to trip you up, and here's Eric Hunt admitting that he was just being as reckless, he was being reckless, just going out of his way to say things that he didn't believe.
Well, that indicates something rather sinister on Eric's part. I'm looking at something that is in Eric's statement. It's the last line, the last sentence in his opening statement, at least what appears on the Roto discussion forum. He writes this sentence, all, you know, capital letters, all capitals, all the evidence supports mass gassings and cremations at these sites. Well, that's not true. That's just not true. Not all the evidence at all. Far from it. And I got very angry, and I called him a liar for that. He has basically said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but not by much, that the revisionists have no real evidence at all for their position. They have no documents and no eyewitnesses. Well, that's just not true. And when someone says that, I get very angry because it's so obviously false for anyone who has studied the subject at all, at least a little bit. We don't have as much evidence as we'd like, but to say that we have no evidence, or to say, as I think Eric also said, and I'll have to check this with the text when it's available someday, he said, except for ad hominem attacks on him, we have no evidence at all. That's really outrageous.
I think the people who promote the Holocaust have absolutely no evidence whatsoever, no documents, none of the things that people would expect to be credible. I mean, they have eyewitnesses, but eyewitnesses are notoriously disreputable.
Right. Well, they have some evidence that is bad evidence that they spin.
Right.
Into appearing as evidence of Carol's murder.
The bodies.
Yeah, they have a lot of dead bodies at Bergen-Belsen, and those bodies and those pictures are the strongest pro-Holocaust evidence there is. People look at those pictures and they say, yes, it must have happened. How can anybody dispute the claim that people were killed in the Esterbrook? The pictures of the bodies in Bergen-Belsen are the most powerful pro-Holocaust evidence there is. And when I have a chance to talk about these pictures to an audience, I try to ask some simple questions to the audience. How many of you believe 50% of the bodies in these pictures are people killed in gas chambers? Some of them raise their hands right there. How many of you believe only 5% of the bodies in this picture are people killed in gas chambers? Some more will raise their hands. And it becomes clear that all the people believe at least some of those bodies are people killed in gas chambers. The evidence is, and it's been provided by the British in their concessions, that nobody was killed in a gas chamber to account for any of those corpses at Bergen-Belsen. The famous Bergen-Belsen trial, where Joseph Kramer was convicted and eventually executed, Fritz Klein, the medical officer, was tried and convicted, sentenced, hung eventually. Those trials pertain to Auschwitz, which the British prosecutors couldn't even visit at that time. Is my connection going bad?
Yeah, you're getting real. There's a lot of static.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Rustling the microphone there.
Yeah.
I'm getting carried away with myself. I know
that's
that.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, well, it's interesting to consider what Eric Hunt regards as evidence. At one point in the debate, he said that archaeology on the, I guess he means Caroline's Dirty Coals, that archaeology had discovered structures on the site of Treblinka resembling structures in survivors' accounts that talked about gas chambers, and this is supposed to be evidence that the story of gassings was true. That's a really crazy argument. Caroline Sturdy Coles found bricks and tiles, which you would find in any shower room, you know. It's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so they really did have a shower room at the site of Treblinka, and this is supposed to prove that there was gassings there. What a ridiculous argument.
Well, I think it's typical of Eric Hunt's approach in general. He puts together very shabby little bits of evidence and tries to make a mass murder story out of them. It's pathetic. I hesitate to criticize Eric Hunt any more than I already have, but his whole case is so childish and silly. I'm really embarrassed for him. But he has the backing of Mark Weber and David Cole and the characters in Holocaust Controversies, and they have provided much of the material that he has cobbled together. One thing I just thought I'd mention here, it turns out today, as far as the diesel gas chamber claim, which is a favorite subject of mine and which is really why I jumped at the chance of having this debate with him, it turns out that the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, even to this very day, insists that it was diesel engines that provided the gas to kill the Jews, and not gasoline engine exhaust. In fact, it was you who sent me an email with that, and I posted that on Roto. And I thank you for that, and I hope you do much more. So, anyway, I'm ready to keep on talking. I hope Eric Hunt shows up. I doubt if he will. But
yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. What we have at this point is a certain splinter of former Holocaust revisionists trying to advise the Jews about how they can tell a more credible lie. You know, this lie that you Jews have been telling, this is not going to pass. You've got to change it. This is basically what Eric Hunt and some of these other guys are doing.
Right. It's amazing. They're splitting apart just as revisionists have been splitting apart as well. So that's part of progress, I suppose.
Yes, it is tragic. We're still getting a lot of static. I'm not sure.
All right.
Whether you moved away from your mic or your...
How about now?
A little better, yeah.
Okay. So I'll try to strap myself into the chair here.
Okay. All righty. Well, adding... go ahead.
Okay, one of the key points that Fritz Berg was making repeatedly in the interview in the exchange with Eric Hunt, and also in the earlier exchanges with Muhlenkamp, was about the abandoning of the victims of carbon monoxide and cyanide.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a real quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information. This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin. And to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com, and Hadding in Florida is still on with us?
Yes.
Correct?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Now, the difference between these anti-revisionists and the revisionists like Fritz Berg is that the anti-revisionists are always pointing to peripheral information like demographics, you know, like where did the Jews go, which is a difficult question to answer for various reasons, one of them being that Jews themselves have a hard time deciding who is a Jew. It's very easy for Jews to disappear. All they have to do is stop calling themselves Jews. So this is the kind of thing that the anti-revisionists like to cite, of peripheral stuff. And they'll also refer to mass graves that have not been investigated in any detail, and they'll assert that this is a mass grave of Jews. At least this was the essence of the exchange between Mr. Berg and Mr. Muhlenkamp. Muhlenkamp would assert that there were these mass graves that proved genocide, and Fritz Berg would come back at him saying that those graves never really were investigated. But what it came down to, really, is looking at the story of how the killing was supposed to have happened, and asking, is this a credible story? And at Auschwitz, Fred Leuchter was able to go in there and look at the physical structures and demonstrate that the story of how the killing was supposed to have occurred is not credible. Now, at Treblinka and the other Aktion Reinhardt camps, you can't do that because the structures are not there. But Mr. Berg's argument instead, in that case, is to look at the kind of story that's told about the gassings there. And the story is that those people were killed with carbon monoxide, either from a diesel engine, if you believe the Holocaust Museum, or from a gasoline engine, if you believe Eric Hunt and Roberto Muhlenkamp, who are trying to help the Holocaust Museum to tell a less stupid story. But
yeah,
the way that Fritz Berg criticizes this is by pointing out that the people who were there claimed that the corpses were blue. And the fact is that the corpses should not be blue. They should be red if these people died from carbon monoxide. And I had to check Roberto Muhlenkamp's response to this. Roberto Muhlenkamp called this reddening of the body liver mortis, which means darkening of death. And he said that this only sets in after 2 hours. The problem is that this is not livor mortis. Livor mortis sets in any dead body after a couple of hours. What we're talking about is the reddening of a body of a person dying from carbon monoxide poison. It's a different thing, and it sets in while death is occurring. Fritz Berg was right about that. And he has shown that the eyewitness accounts of how this is supposed to have occurred, in lieu of actually examining the facilities which are not there anymore, he's right. He's right that they were lying.
Right.
That's the best we can do, really. Until somebody actually shows that there is a mass grave full of remains that are Jewish and were gassed, this is effectively a disproof. And one thing that has been lost is the common sense skepticism that greeted this kind of story when it first came up. During the Second World War, when these stories of mass gassings of Jews came, and Poles and other people were claimed to be gassed at the time, when those stories came to the United States, people didn't believe it. They thought this is more of that same kind of bunk we heard during the First World War. That was a healthy skepticism, which has now been lost, and we're to the point where people are looking for an excuse to continue believing instead of being skeptical.
If I may add something, my point, and I think you'll agree with me, is that it is not just a few of these eyewitnesses who lied, but all of them, from Kurt Gerstein on to every last one of these people who have been brought up in the Holocaust literature by Eugene Kogan and others, every last one is a demonstrable liar. No exceptions. All of these eyewitness counts are rubbish. Every last
exactly.
one. And those eyewitness accounts are in reality all that there is.
That's it. That's all they have. Okay, we're going to a quick break. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
And our guest today is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is nazigassings.com. Now, isn't all of this rhetoric about 6 million so-called victims really a distraction from the 50 million people that were slaughtered because the Jews wanted a war?
Of course. Of course. Of course, the war was much, much more horrific than the so-called Holocaust was, even if you believe the Holocaust.
Sure, sure. Now, do we still have Hadding?
Yes. The focus on the Jewish deaths was not really emphasized during the war. I just wrote a fairly long article for Kodo about how the Holocaust has changed because, you know, President Trump was attacked by the ADL and by other Jewish organizations because he didn't mention Jews in his Holocaust Day statement. And the fact is that Jews were not considered to be prominent in the gassing stories during the war. And even until the late 60s, there was a German prosecutor, that I found this in a book, that talked about the 8 million non-Jews compared to the 6 million Jews. And Yehuda Bauer at the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum now says that there were not more than 500,000 non-Jews that died in the concentration camps. And he says, oh, that claim of 5 million non-Jews, That was crazy old Simon Wiesenthal who said that. Nobody, you know, implying that, therefore, it was never to be taken seriously. Anyway, this is baloney. All the older propaganda emphasized non-Jewish deaths because it was for war propaganda. For war propaganda, you want to have as wide a variety of victims as possible so that people will support the war. In 1978, with that Holocaust miniseries, the emphasis changed. It became all about Jewish victims. Why? To support Zionism. That Holocaust miniseries is explicit Zionist propaganda.
I agree.
I agree also, absolutely. But I do think the 6 million number did get a lot of play before that, and it was widely believed that the gas chambers in my circles were intended primarily for the Jews. Oh, sure, other people were killed, but I would disagree with you somewhat on that issue, because during the 1950s, when I was in high school, we were brainwashed with the Anne Frank diary story, and you know, it was all explained to us that she was Jewish and that she was facing the gas chambers, etc., etc. It was all mixed in together at that time to stress the special suffering that Jews had endured. Anyway, I think that's a minor issue. I don't want to get into the psychology of all the propaganda. My point is simple. Nobody was killed in gas chambers. If the Germans wanted to execute people, they had the firing squads, and those were used for sure. Not in anything like the numbers alleged. They also had decapitation and hanging and possibly some other methods. But gas chambers are a very peculiar American form of execution. No other country does it at all. And for good reasons, if you study the subject. But in any event, it was a very odd kind of way to try to kill people. And it has some basis in American literature about the ease at which you could kill people in gas chambers. It's actually not that easy at all. The last gas chamber execution anywhere in the world occurred here in Arizona, not far from where I'm sitting right now. And it took 18 minutes to kill just one person. It's not the quick, easy process that is alleged in the Virba Wetzler report, which was promoted by the War Refugee Board in 1944. It was claimed that huge numbers of Jews and others were killed in 3 minutes. It's just not possible. Anyway, one more reason to reject all of this Holocaust filth for what it really is.
Indeed.
I want to make a point about excavation of mass graves. Eric Hunt was obviously alluded to the influence of Roberto Muhlenkamp. He was apparently very impressed with Muhlenkamp's performance in his arguments with Fritz Berg. And I listened to Muhlenkamp's debates with Berg, and Muhlenkamp alleged that there was this Jewish prohibition against excavating mass graves and really examining them carefully. This is an excuse that they can use for not really checking it carefully. I found out that apparently there is no such prohibition, because I found an example of a Jewish mass grave that was excavated by archaeologists. It was the alleged mass suicide at Masada.
Oh, yes.
Israel. That was excavated. And they dug up what they claimed were Jewish remains. And they gave them a state funeral in 1982. So there is apparently no such religious prohibition against excavating dead Jews.
Right. I'm sure you're right on that, and they're using this issue as a way to avoid forensic examination. In connection with the exhumation or forensic examinations of massacre sites, the best example I know of was the Katyn massacre site, where the Germans exhumed several thousand Polish officers' bodies in Katyn in Russia. And the literature, the German literature, is just amazing. It's excellent quality literature showing the actual paperwork that was found on the dead bodies and the clothing of the Polish officers who were murdered by the KGB. What was also special about that excellent examination was the fact that observers were invited. American military officers were present, and they spoke about it afterward, and they had no objections to what the Germans claimed. Polish officials and clergymen were actually present also at that examination. And the Polish government today has not the slightest doubt that this Katyn massacre was perpetrated by the Soviets. And they're no particular friends of the Germans, but they have no doubt whatsoever that this massacre was perpetrated by the KGB. The quality of the excavation and the photographs make no doubt at all, or leave no doubt at all, as to what had happened there. And that examination is a model for other examinations. There's nothing like that with regard to any of the alleged massacre sites where the Germans were murdering people. There's a book by Father Patrick Desbois, which actually has, I think, 16 pages of color photographs, but no photographs showing any evidence at all that people were even shot by the Germans. They have a one color picture showing German bullet cartridges, as if that proves something, as if the Germans only use bullet cartridges to commit mass murder. It is so incredibly hokey that I'm still shaking my head. And when I listen to Eric Hunt talk about, you know, his incredible amounts of evidence, I shake my head even more. Anyway, maybe somebody else has a good question.
Okay, let's bring on. Thank you very much, Hadding, for calling in.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Hadding. Please do much more.
Yes, both of you.
Get involved.
Yes. Okay, let's take David in California. David, thank you so much for waiting. David, are you there?
No, this is Tom in Utah.
Oh, I have you down as David. Okay, David in California. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, Tom, welcome.
Having dealt with victims of asphyxiation, the nice advantage of carbon monoxide or other toxic gas death is you don't mess up their clothing.
What do you mean?
You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if you shoot somebody, they're going to bleed all over the clothing, so that clothing is rendered useless pretty much. Plus the damage done to the clothing. And so I can tell you that if you're going to try to confiscate clothing or goods from the people, gassing is the best way to do it because you don't disrupt or destroy the clothing.
Well, the body fluids are released also at the time of death, so it's kind of a messy process as well. But I take your point, but I don't think it's all that convincing one way or another. I mean, body fluids are released on death, even in ordinary deaths.
Right.
Well, carbon monoxide poisoning is kind of a curious, and so there's not that messiness that occurs in other events of expiring.
Tom, are you suggesting that people were gassed during this period of time?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that some people were, at least, and that's far more efficient. You're talking about, you'd have to, of course, have the person contained for a few minutes while they got the overdose of the gas. And by the way, when you're dying with carbon monoxide, it only takes about 20% of your hemoglobin to be bound up with carbon monoxide to cause death. So the other 80% is going to be oxygenated, and then as you go through the process of rigor mortis, it's going to turn the body purple or blue,
no,
as if you've been shot.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No, it's just not true. The literature is very clear, and I'm talking about medical literature, and I've spoken to firemen.
Well, guess what I did as a profession.
Well, what did you do?
I worked in pathology, and right now my cases are up on the web where children have died or been injured with carbon monoxide. So only 20% of the hemoglobin is required to bind with carbon monoxide, and the other 80% is still oxygen. And when that oxygen leaves the blood, then you got the blue blood.
Well, look, you're wrong. You're just plain wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay, goodbye.
You are refuted by the medical literature itself. There's a ton of medical literature on carbon monoxide fatalities, and it's very clear. Yeah, he hung up. He didn't like what I was saying. Now, it's very pathetic to hear this sort of argument. I've heard this for a long time, that at least in some cases, the body doesn't turn red. It turns red in all cases.
I missed out on a whole bunch of what was going on.
Well, all right, you get people like that who go out of their way to talk nonsense, and fortunately...
I missed everything you said. All of a sudden, I got cut off, or the sound was gone.
He tries to claim that the body's turned blue from carbon monoxide poisoning. That's not true.
Yeah, well, wasn't any gassings, okay? I mean, it just didn't happen. And a lot of the bodies that we saw were quite possibly, and more than likely, could have been a lot of Germans who were hauled in for photo ops. At least that is some of the things that I've read. And having brought up Anne Frank, and there was a court that the American Jewish writer, Meyer Levin, was awarded $50,000 by the New York Supreme Court that had to be paid by Anne Frank's father for using Levin's work and passing it off as the writings of his late daughter, Anne Frank. And this occurred in 1959.
I've heard of that, and I have no reason to doubt it. It's all part of the Shoah business. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I don't think a person, either you believe the Holocaust, you don't believe it. I don't think you can, you know, do it halfway. What are your thoughts?
Well, in a way, we saw the problem for some people just now with this caller who claims to have been some kind of a pathologist. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I've spoken to professional pathologists, one in particular, he did 3,000 autopsies. And I asked him rather provocatively, well, does the body turn red in all cases? He says, well, nearly all. And then I asked him, well, how about those exceptions? He said there are always exceptions, but they are exceptions to the rule. And the rule is very simple. If you die from carbon monoxide, you turn red with very, very few exceptions. And the color shows itself very, very quickly because the color is not due to some magic livor mortis process. It's due to the intense red appearance of the blood itself, which shows through the skin of pale-skinned people. If you are a Negro, it probably doesn't show at all. But if you are a typical Polish pasty-faced Jew who never took a shirt off in his life in sunshine, your skin is almost transparent. And for such people, the intense red coloring, bright cherry red coloring of the blood shows itself very easily through the skin.
Right. Right. Well, I really appreciate all of the information you have on your website. But getting back to the autopsies, I think that is very important. You talk about the autopsies or refer again to those autopsies that the doctor, what was his name, Lawson?
Well, it was Charles P. Larson, but there was also a Jewish doctor working for the United States Army War Crimes Branch. That was Dr. Hermann Bolker, who was actually born in Germany, came to America, and then became a medical officer in the U.S. Army and was assigned to perform autopsies at Hadamar, where, guess what, the cause of death for many of those inmates was supposedly carbon monoxide. So that would have been a place to see some intense red coloring somewhere, even if the bodies had been in the ground for a while. But he admitted that he found no evidence of the use of any kind of poison gas.
Okay, we're going to a quick break, and then we'll take Joel when we come back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is Deanna, and our guest is Friedrich Paul Berg. His website is NaziGassings.com. Complete your thought, and then let's go ahead and take the caller, Joel, from Wisconsin. But go ahead and complete your thought.
Let me go quickly. 30% carboxyhemoglobin is the level of carboxyhemoglobin in the blood at which the blood begins to appear bright cherry red. And most deaths from carbon monoxide occur at much higher levels, so they are red. Some deaths occur at lower carboxyhemoglobin levels, like 20%, 25%. Those will not show that intense bright cherry red coloring. But most CO deaths occur at the intense red levels, okay? That's just a follow-up on what this other person was calling about.
Okay. Let's really quick take Joel in Wisconsin. Joel?
Am I there?
Yep, you're there. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is, I hope the last caller is listening, because he made the point that they would gas the people rather than shoot them because they wouldn't want to mess up the clothes. Well, then somebody would have to take the clothes off the dead corpse. Now, if the idea was to preserve the clothing, and then the perpetrators would have the person take the clothes off, fold them up, and then shoot them. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I hope that guy could just run that little thought through his head. I mean, I don't really know what happened. I don't know what happened over there. I don't know if anybody's ever going to figure it out. But that, a statement like that is just, you better rethink it.
Okay. Thanks, Joel.
Okay.
Fritz, your comment.
Well, I agree. It's stupid for all kinds of reasons. The Jews could have been killed right there in Budapest, where they had an excellent large gas chamber for fumigating entire railroad cars,
exactly,
railroad trains with Zyklon B. You could have had the Jews split up into work groups and old people versus young people, working age people, and gassed them right there in Budapest instead of shipping them 120 miles by train during wartime, when every rail car was absolutely essential for the war effort.
And then tattooing them. Why tattoo them if you're going to shoot them?
Right, exactly.
Kill them.
It's a stupid hoax, a dirty hoax from so many angles, and we can only touch on some of those issues in a short discussion like this one, which I thank you for anyway, Deanna. It's great. Let's do more.
Absolutely, and bless you for your work and for all the things that you've made available on your website, for your wisdom. I have learned so much from you, and I really appreciate it. Totally.
Well, thank you. Typhus was the big killer, and we haven't even touched on that. And when people die from typhus, they are literally reduced to skin and bone. That's what killed the vast majority of people at Bergen-Belsen. And when people die from disease, they are literally very, very skinny at the time of death, just like people who die from lung cancer because of smoking most of their lives. They are literally reduced to skin and bone. Steve Jobs, before he died, long before he actually died, had already been reduced to skin and bone. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, long before he died.
Exactly. And the whole purpose of any kind of gassing was to fumigate the clothes. Okay. Thank you so much, Fritz. Bless you.
You're welcome.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you next week.
Someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time.
If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it?
That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling.
Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.